Chapter 22. A man called Uwe and someone in a garage. Uwe and the cat sit in silence in the Saab outside the hospital.
"Stop looking at me as if this is my fault," says Uwe to the cat.
The cat looks back at him as if it isn't angry but disappointed. It wasn't really the plan that he would be sitting outside this hospital again. He hates hospitals, after all. And now he's bloody been here 3 times in less than a week. It's not right and proper. But no other choice was available to him. Because today went to pot from the very beginning. It started with Uwe and the cat, during their daily inspection when they discovered that the sign forbidding vehicular traffic within the residential area had been run over. This inspired such colorful profanities from Uwe that the cat looked quite embarrassed. Uwe marched off in fury and emerged moments later with his snow shovel. Then he stopped, looking towards Anita and Rune's house, his jaws clamped so hard that they made a creaking sound. The cat looked at him accusingly.
"It's not my fault the old sod went and got old," he said more firmly.
When the cat didn't seem to find this to be in any way an acceptable explanation, Uwe pointed at it with the snow shovel.
"You think this is the first time I've had a run-in with the council?
That decision about Rune, do you think they've actually come to a real conclusion about it?
They never will.
It'll go to appeal, and then they'll drag it out and put it through their shitty bureaucratic grind. You understand? You think it'll happen quickly, but it takes months, years. You think I'm going to stick around here just because that old sod went all helpless?"
The cat didn't answer. "You don't understand. Understand?" Uwe hissed and turned around.
He felt the cat's eyes on his back as he marched inside. That is not the reason why Uwe and the cat are sitting in the Saab in the parking area outside the hospital, but it does have a fairly direct connection with Uwe standing there shoveling snow when that journalist woman in her slightly too large green jacket turned up outside his house.
"Uwe?"
she asked behind him, as if she was concerned that he might have changed his identity since she last came here to disturb him. Uwe continued shoveling without in any way acknowledging her presence.
"I only want to ask you a few questions,"
she tried.
"Ask them somewhere else. I don't want them here,"
Uwe answered, scattering snow about him in a way that made it difficult to tell whether he was shoveling or digging.
"But I only want it,"
she said. But she was interrupted by Uwe and the cat going into the house and slamming the door in her face. Uwe and the cat squatted in the hall and waited for her to leave. But she didn't leave. She started banging on the door and calling out, "But you're a hero!"
"She's absolutely psychotic, that woman," said Uwe to the cat.
The cat didn't disagree. When she carried on, banging and shouting even louder, Uwe didn't know what to do, so he threw the door open and put his finger over his mouth, hushing her as if in the next moment he was going to point out that this was actually a library. She attempted to grin up at his face, waving something that Uwe instinctively perceived as a camera of some sort, or something else. It wasn't so easy knowing what cameras looked like anymore in this bloody society. Then she tried to step into his hall. Maybe she shouldn't have done that. Uwe raised his big hand and pushed her back over the threshold as a reflex, so that she almost fell head first into the snow.
"I don't want anything," said Uwe.
She regained her balance and waved the camera at him, while yelling something. Uwe wasn't listening. He looked at the camera as if it were a weapon and then decided to flee. This person was clearly not a reasonable person. So the cat and Uwe stepped out the door, locked it, and headed off as quick as they could towards the parking area. The journalist woman jogged along behind them. To be absolutely clear about it, though, no part of this bears any relation to why Uwe is now sitting outside the hospital. But when Parvana stood knocking on the door of Uwe's house, 15 minutes or so later, holding her 3-year-old by the hand, and when no one opened and then she heard voices from the parking area, this, so to speak, has a good deal to do with Uwe sitting outside the hospital. Parvana and the child came around the corner of the parking area, and saw Uwe standing outside his closed garage door with his hands sullenly shoved into his pockets. The cat was sitting at his feet, looking guilty. "What are you doing?" said Parvana.
"Nothing," said Uwe defensively.
Some knocking sounds were coming from the inside of the garage door.
"What was that?"
said Parvana, staring at it with surprise. Uwe suddenly seemed extremely interested in a particular section of the asphalt under one of his shoes. The cat looked a bit as if it were about to start whistling and trying to walk away. Another knock came from the inside of the garage door.
"Hello?"
said Parvana.
"Hello?"
answered the garage door. Parvana's eyes widened.
"Christ, have you locked someone in the garage, Uwe?"
Uwe didn't answer. Parvana shook him as if trying to dislodge some coconuts.
"Uwe!"
"Yes, yes. But I didn't do it on purpose, for God's sake," he muttered and wriggled out of her grip.
Parvana shook her head.
"Not on purpose?"
"No, not on purpose," said Uwe,
as if this should wrap up the discussion. When he noticed that Parvana was obviously expecting some sort of clarification, he scratched his head and sighed.
"Her. Well, she's one of those journalist people. It wasn't bloody me who locked her in. I was going to lock myself and the cat in there, but then she followed us. And, you know, things took their course."
Parvana started massaging her temples.
"I can't deal with this."
"Naughty,"
said the three-year-old and shook her finger at Uwe.
"Hello?"
said the garage door.
"There's no one here," Uwe hissed back.
"But I can hear you,"
said the garage door. Uwe sighed and looked despondently at Parvana, as if he was about to exclaim,
"You hear that? Even garage doors are talking to me these days."
Parvana waved him aside, walked up to the door, leaned her face up close, and knocked tentatively. The door knocked back, as if it expected to communicate by Morse code from now on. Parvana cleared her throat.
"Why do you want to talk to Uwe?"
she said, relying on the conventional alphabet.
"He's a hero."
"A what?"
"Okay, sorry. So my name is Lena. I work at the local newspaper, and I want to interview—"
Parvana looked at Uwe in shock.
"What does she mean, a hero?"
"She's just prattling on," Uwe protested.
"He saved a man's life. He'd fallen on the track,"
yelled the garage door.
"Are you sure you've got the right, Uwe?"
said Parvana. Uwe looked insulted.
"I see. So now it's out of the question that I could be a hero, is it?"
he muttered. Parvana peered at him suspiciously. The three-year-old tried to grab hold of what was left of the cat's tail with an excitable,
"Kitty!"
Kitty did not look particularly impressed by this and tried to hide behind Uwe's legs.
"What have you done, Uwe?"
said Parvana in a low, confidential voice, taking two steps away from the garage door. The three-year-old chased the cat around his feet. Uwe tried to figure out what he should do with his hands.
"Ah, so I hauled a suit off the rails. It's nothing to make a bloody fuss about," he mumbled.
Parvana tried to keep a straight face.
"Or to have a giggle about, actually," said Uwe sourly.
"Sorry," said Parvana.
The garage door called out something that sounded like,
"Hello, are you still there?"
"No,"
Uwe bellowed.
"Why are you so terrifically angry?"
the garage door wondered. Uwe was starting to look hesitant. He leaned towards Parvana.
"I don't know how to get rid of her," he said.
And if Parvana had not known better, she might have concluded that there was something pleading in his eyes.
"I don't want her in there on her own with the sob," he whispered gravely.
Parvana nodded, in confirmation of the unfortunate aspects of the situation. Uwe lowered a tired, mediating hand between the three-year-old and the cat before that situation went out of control around his shoes. The three-year-old looked as if she was ready to try to hug the cat. The cat looked as if it was ready to pick out the three-year-old from a lineup at a police station. Uwe managed to catch the three-year-old, who burst into peals of laughter.
"Why are you here in the first place?"
Uwe demanded Parvana, as he handed over the little bundle like a sack of potatoes.
We're taking the bus to the hospital to pick up Patrick and Jimmy, she answered. She saw the way Uwe's face twitched above his cheekbones when she said bus. We, Parvana began, as if articulating the beginnings of a thought. She looked at the garage door, then looked at Uwe.
I can't hear what you're saying. Talk louder, yelled the garage door.
Uwe immediately took two steps away from it. At once, Parvana smiled confidently at him, as if she had just worked out the solution to a crossword.
Hey, Uwe, how about this? If you give us a lift to the hospital, I'll help you get rid of this journalist, okay?
Uwe looked up. He didn't look a bit convinced. Parvana threw out her arms.
Or I'll tell the journalist that I can tell a story or two about you, Uwe, she said, raising her eyebrows.
Story? What story?
The garage door called out and started banging in an excitable manner. Uwe looked dejectedly at the garage door.
This is blackmail, he said desperately to Parvana.
Parvana nodded cheerfully.
Uwe, I caught a de clown,
said the three-year-old, and nodded in an initiated way to the cat, clearly because she felt that Uva's aversion to the hospital needed further explanation to whoever was not there the last time they went. The cat seemed not to know what this meant, but if the clown had been anywhere near as tiresome as this three-year-old, the cat didn't take an entirely negative view of Uwe hitting someone. And so, this is the reason why Uwe is sitting here now. The cat looks personally let down by Uwe for making it travel all the way in the back seat with the three-year-old. Uwe adjusts the newspapers on the seats. He feels he's been tricked. When Parvana said she'd get rid of the journalist, he didn't have a very clear idea of exactly how she'd manage it. Obviously, he didn't have expectations of the woman being conjured away in a puff of smoke or knocked out with a spade or buried in the desert or anything of that kind. In fact, the only thing Parvana had done was to open the garage door, give that journalist her card, and say, call me and we'll talk about Uwe. Was that really a way of getting rid of anyone? Uwe doesn't think, properly speaking, that it's a way of getting rid of anyone at all. But now it's too late, of course. Now, damn it, he's sitting here waiting outside the hospital for the third time in less than a week. Blackmail, that's what it is. Added to this, Uwe has the cat's resentful stares to contend with. Something in its eyes reminds him of the way Sonia used to look at him.
They won't be coming to take Rune away. They say they're going to do it, but they'll be busy with the process for many years, says Uwe to the cat.
Maybe he's also saying it to Sonia, and maybe to himself. He doesn't know.
At least stop feeling so sorry for yourself. If it wasn't for me, you'd be living with the kid, and then you wouldn't have much left of what you have now for a tail. Think about that.
He snorts at the cat in an attempt to change the subject. The cat rolls onto its side, away from Uwe, and goes to sleep in protest. Uwe looks out the window again. He knows very well that the three-year-old isn't allergic at all. He knows very well that Parvana just lied to him, so she wouldn't have to take care of the cat annoyance. He's not some bloody senile old man.